Did Legend of Zelda come out that year? I'm almost done being annoying. I'm so tired.
It's okay.
Oh yeah,
You know
Ocarina of
what's great
Time
about
or
this, though,
Ocarina
Danny,
of
is instead
Time
of...
is what came out then.
What's great
Arguably one of the
about this,
best
though,
games of all time.
is instead of just discussing by looking at Wikipedia about what came out in 1998, we can actually go back to 1998. Kevin, have you told Dune about our time machine yet?
Well, Dune, let me tell you about our time machine. We've got a limited edition time machine that was mint in box until Mike decided to open it. But at least it takes us around to various years where we can learn about what happened in the world of geek pop culture, one nugget at a time.
That's pretty
And the best thing about it
fantastic.
is where we're going. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
No,
So
we
let's
don't.
travel
Yeah.
back.
It's like Fat to the
Ladies and gentlemen.
Future instead of Time Lords.
Well
Oh,
played, that's the
God.
future. And here we go. Let's get that flux capacitor fluxing, and let's head right back on to 1998.
Start your computations for time.
For everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online, baby.
This is called Pirate Radio.
Kevin Goswan is a true goddamn American hero.
Be like, oh, these are stupid guns.
Guns are for jerks.
You mess with Eric the DJ, and I'll rip your head off and shit on your neck.
This is called Pirate Radio.
Welcome to the 90s, Mr.
Paul. You got it, dude.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river, came out clean on the other side.
Why, you little...
This is called Pirate Radio.
Bitches.
Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. My name is Mike Lunsford, and welcome to The Time Lords. It's our special podcast that we do here on Comics Online, specifically about 1 year from the past, where we talk all things geek pop culture. This year, we are discussing 1998. Joining
TVN
me,
1998, Playboy!
Woo! We are joined by the editor-in-chief of Comics Online himself. His name is Kevin Goswan.
Hello again.
Not only that, we have, returning to the Comics Online airwaves, we have the both famous and infamous, depending on who you're asking. I don't even know what title we would give you, because I know this used to be your jam. Weren't you the co-host at one point of this, Dune?
Yes, I was.
For 7 years.
Seven years of my life.
Damn. 7 years.
Since
so
1998.
Back to... Whoa.
When I was 11.
That's crazy. But this is Dune McKay.
Heyo.
Welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
Dune, I know that people can hear you elsewhere. We'll give you a chance to plug your stuff, man. Where else have they seen your beautiful face and heard your wonderful voice?
Dune Reads Goosebumps, which I thought I had completed the original 62 Goosebumps until someone tweeted at me and informed me that I missed one. So I need to do that one next, but I'm going to keep it going with the Dune Reads Goosebumps.
What's the missing title?
The Mummy Returns. I swear I did that because I remember making a bunch of Fleshlight jokes in it, but I don't know. Maybe I lost it or didn't post it. I'm not sure. But youtube.com/how's that thing. What else am I been up to? I've been helping out the buddy's band, Oz Fontaine, AUZ. What I the Dune and Geo Watch stuff, old comics online. Just, you know, I'm keeping it real. I did an album of trap music mixed with Clive Barker's cabal called Trap Midian. I don't know.
Yeah, when is that?
So basically,
is that
what
done?
You're saying is you're creating?
Yeah, it's
guy.
Done. We just need to get it mastered and put on vinyl. I think we should just put it out without vinyl, but we'll see.
All right.
That's all. Just keeping on, keeping on. I do.
So now
things.
That we're in 1998.
Yes.
Now that we're in 1998, people, vinyl hadn't come back yet.
Vinyl
this
never
is
went
still
away.
Something
did
where
it?
vinyl was con- well, it never went away, but it hadn't come back in the way that it has now in 2017. Some of the things that were going on. So let's kind of set the tone here of what we were dealing with in the world of 1998. Maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. But our president, Mr. Bill Clinton, says very emphatically that he denies having any sexual relations with former White House intern Monica Lewinsky, starting the Lewinsky scandal investigations. So
I remember being in high school, which I started in like, I don't know, early 2000. And I remember being like a sophomore or junior in someone's like carpool where they're listening to morning talk radio. And they were still making Monica Lewinsky jokes and like playing the buzzer sounds and shit. It was amazing. I might still make some. I'm going to make throwback Lewinsky jokes.
Well, now would be the appropriate time for that. And now that we're in 1998.
Yeah, Bill Clinton's a bad dude.
Doing sexual things in the White House. What?
Oh yeah, making her use a he handed her a cigar to use as a sexual implementation, which she then used, and he then smoked said cigar later. But the thing that stood out the
most, puffer, that's what they call those, a crusty puffer.
I just got a bad feeling that that's going to be the name of this episode.
I'll make a lot more terrible jokes.
But the thing I remember about this the most with Clinton's impeachment trial, because he was in fact impeached, he was brought to trial for perjury and obstruction of justice. The one thing I remember about this the most is I remember at one point while on the stand, he actually asked the litigator to define the word is. And that just like blew me away. Like how could somebody not know what that word meant? But not only that, it of course I was a kid at the time. I'm in high school, so I didn't know what the hell he was doing. Realizing later that it was all a ploy just to try to find some loophole stating that he was not in fact guilty of perjury.
I just remember the fist with the thumb out pointing.
Yeah, his standard Clinton move that he did. Yeah, that everybody imitated when they did a Clinton impersonation.
Yeah, that's all. All right, what else went on in the world then?
I think we're going to spin the wheel because since doing this is your first time on the Time Lords. Or as you just
fatties in a phone booth.
Fat to the Future, which I mean that's another good one too. I like that as well. I think what we're going to do is we are going to spin the wheel because we've got categories. We've got sports. We've got television. We've got music. We've got comic books. We've got video games. All of these things that we can talk about that were influential in 1998. We'll go ahead and let you spin the wheel.
What do we do with our retardus now that we're out of it? Do we lock it up somewhere?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, the retardus?
The retardus.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
That offensive joke brought to you by Dune Reads Goosebumps. Check them out on YouTube.
Oh, is that offensive? Oh, I forget.
No.
My podcast doesn't have offensive things.
Only all the time.
Well, Kevin, what do you say about Comics Online? We're a hard R.
We are a hard R, for sure.
In this case, the R stands for the retardus, so...
All right, moving right along. So what are we going to do first, Mike?
Spin the wheel! Oh, hey, look at this. We get to let our guest, Dune, he gets to lead us off because music came up on the big wheel. Dune, tell us a little bit about the music of 1998.
All right, music in 1998 was all the rad stuff bumping out of Chad Muska's jam box in the Fulfill the Dream movie, which is the greatest movie to come out in 1998. Shorty's, the skateboarding brand that doesn't exist anymore, put out Fulfill the Dream, and it's just the best. All that Chad Muska. I used to have Chad Muska shoes when I was a kid, but then I had diarrhea on a golf course, and I had to shit against a tree, and it sprayed Rio on my shoe, and then I had to throw it away later. So music, I put together my top 10 albums of the year and top 5 bad things that happened in music in that year. I don't know how you want me to do this. You want me to switch off between things or count off or just go through it?
Just go for it.
All right. Number 10
was,
I don't trust my judgment. That's why I have Kevin tell me what to do. This is a system we've worked out for years. I drink, I make dumb jokes, and he tells me what to do. Number 10 was the compilation, the first thing put out in the record label, Anticon's Hip Hop Music for the Advanced Listener, which is a pretentious name for a pretentious record label that I pretentiously was obsessed with growing up, where it was like Soul and Alias and Dos One and Y and like the group Deep Puddle Dynamics with Slug from Atmosphere and Sage Francis and Idea and all the things that were weird white boy indie hip hop that I was good, got into like poetry and shit. So that was the first thing that came out, and it wasn't by any means their best work. It starts out with a diss song to LP, who's now famously from Run the Jewels, but this is in 98 and he was dissing him for not having industry cred, right? All right. Number 9 was the Insane Clown Posse's Forgotten Freshness Volumes 1 and 2. I purchased this when I was a young kid because, like many mistakes that made with albums, I was like two discs instead of one rather than getting a good album. Like, instead of buying like Bob Marley Legend, I got like a 4-pack of like weird public domain pre-Wailers Bob Marley. And I was like, oh, this is unlistenable. And, yeah, it's just ICP, you know? That was important to me when I was, like, 13 and 30.
All right.
Number 8. It's a tie between Hieroglyphics' Third Eye Vision and Jurassic 5 self-titled. That was when, like, more, I guess, so, like, indie hip-hop was coming out. And those were both great groups. I saw Jurassic 5 at Warped Tour, and someone I know saw the DJ from Jurassic 5 the morning before they played at Warped Tour, buying the instrumental records for his own music at the Tower Records in Point Loma.
That is hilarious.
Like, clearly he fucked something up and didn't have enough and, like, had to go run and buy them. So that was fun. Number 7. I'm a big Cash Money Records fan. I don't even mind that Birdman, the guy who runs it all, clearly has sex with kids and screws people out of their contracts and is a terrible human being. But Juvenile of Hot Boys fame came out with 400 Degrees. That was a fantastic album with that Manny Fresh beat thing going on. Had Back That Ass Up, or if you're watching on MTV, Back That Thang Up. Am I right?
You're right.
Number 6, Cottonmouth King's Royal Highness. This was like huge in San Diego because they were friends with local radio DJs and they would play down here first before they became like the quintessential white trash group. They were very much so like the PB Mission Beach Ocean Beach group of like, oh, it's just chill ass stoner people making interesting music. But then they would just took a hard turn and went terrible.
This is who?
Really kept up with the Cottonmouth Kings. Kept up being terrible.
They were really bad from the beginning, and so many people just loved the shit out of them.
That first album I still think is good. Oh, everything else is atrocious.
It seems like I know somebody with the Cottonmouth Kings tattoo.
That would be my terrible, terrible ex-girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah, not my beautiful, fantastic ex-girlfriend, which wasn't my ex-girlfriend.
The one previous to that.
Yeah. Number five, the Beastie Boys' Hello Nasty album. That one still holds up and is good.
Oh, good call.
Fucking
good
fantastic.
Call. Yeah, great album.
Just through and through, I didn't fully get all of it when I was younger, but listening back when I got older, I was like, oh man, this is incredible. Because, you know, when you're young, you just want to hear like poppy songs and hits, and there's instrumental like tracks on that, and goddamn, it's fantastic. Number 4, Cradle of Filth, Cruelty and the Beast. That is just a solid, weird, before they turned away from being like actually black metal. Good album. It's the one before Midian, which is my favorite they did. Obviously, I'm very into this Midian and Nightbreed and Cabal.
Archer, yeah.
Number 3, Jay-Z Volume 2 Hard Knock Life. That is a fantastic album full of Kanye West made beats. Jay-Z, every other album is good. So the next one should be on, who knows. But he does put out every other one just being terrible. But yeah, but number two, possibly I think my most listened to album of the year is Social Distortion's Live at the Roxy. That is a fantastic live album. The little talking in between, good performances, good greatest hits of the time. I want to say at the time, like they put out another good album since then, but they didn't. But fucking Social Distortion, Live at the Roxy, fantastic. I went in my mom's car the other day and she was listening to it.
Wow.
That holds up. And then number one album of the year, Elliott Smith, EXO. It's just fantastic, Playboy. Elliott Smith is the best, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to my top five bad things that happened to music later, so I'm not just talking.
All right.
Well, with some of these, like, Hello Nasty, definitely I can get behind. Jurassic 5, I mean, it's Jurassic 5. They're gods among hip-hop. Like, they have a spot. The ICP thing, I'm not going to hate on you for that one. Like, I can't get into the whole Juggalo thing, but, you know, more power to you. But I'll say this. You have a consistent thing going on here. There's a theme going with all of your music, and until you got into the whole, like, Cradle of Filth thing, and then I was like, oh, it's a metal thing, too? That's kind of awesome. Did we lose Dune?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be back. He must have just dropped out.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's dropped off of Skype altogether.
Whoops.
Yeah, we got booted. It's all right. We can continue on talking about
music. I was going to give him a chance to defend his music, like, because I like Jay-Z, but let me tell you, that Hard Knock Life song, I could not stand. That drove me absolutely nuts. I remember hating that song. Like, it was something about it. It was, like, the high-pitched kids' voices, and, like, just, it made me, if I couldn't reach the radio, it made me want to, like, rip off an appendage so that I could throw it at the radio just to make it stop playing that song. Like, it was just awful. Just, oh, God.
Hey. Eve 6 came out with Eve 6.
In case you forgot their name, they named the album that too. So you
Tori got that going Amos for you. Came out from the Choir Girl Hotel. Is he back?
I got something for her Choir Girl Hotel.
Yeah, I do. Add people.
No, there was. Yeah, this is one when I think like Fatboy Slim became mainstream because the Rockefeller Skank like blew up and everybody was losing their minds about that.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill's album, The Miseducation of Miss Lauryn Hill, came out this year too. That was a fucking one. Let me pull up some of the other stuff that came out this year.
Right.
I mean, it's funny because I'm in high school when this stuff is all coming out, and I don't remember half of these songs. Like, I just didn't care. Maybe, like, it's kind of funny. Like, I'm looking at all of these songs that were big, and I'm like, I didn't really care about any of these.
Fair enough.
Ace Frehley apparently did his own. He did his own solo album, Loaded Deck.
All right.
So you got that going. Blues Brothers 2000, which is funny because it was 1998. So.
Right. Yeah, I was in prep for that movie.
Remember, like, it was right around this time, too, that everybody was obsessed with anything 2000 because we were getting ready to, like, have a new millennia and, like, everything was named 2000. Like, that was the big thing. Like, you know, oh, this is going to be for the future, so we're going to call it something, something 2000. Well, that and everybody was freaking out about the Y2K book. Y2K bug, but
yeah,
and that's actually, you know, you're the perfect person to ask about this, Mr. Goswan, because yes, you being an IT person,
that's true.
Were you working in the industry
in 1998? Let me take you back here, Michael. I would take you back into the previous century, to the previous millennium, and tell you all about what I was doing in 1998. Let's see. I started the year in 1998 working for Creative Computers. And by February, I went and started working for an ISP. That's an internet service provider, for those of you who are new to life. I was helping people, you know, get their computers dialed up using a phone line. Do you remember phone lines, Mike?
I do. Ooh, I had AOL, man. Yeah.
Well, this is me trying to get people off of AOL onto a local internet service provider where your internet wasn't filtered through AOL's bullshit. And we had dial up and we had DSL, and place called Simply Internet in San Diego, and that was fun times. And then by the end of the year, really not too far beyond that, I started working for Quintana Roo. If you're Spanish, it's Quintana Roo. Which is not just
pretty exciting.
Not just a state in Mexico, but it is a bike and wetsuit manufacturer, and I was the IT manager and webmaster for this company.
I hope that was their like catchphrase too. Is Quintana Roo not just a state in Mexico?
it's a triathlon company, right? So their bikes. Yeah. were triathlon based, and they're not based, but focused. Yep. Or whatever. So
I'm looking through the top 100 songs of 1998, and there's some really bad songs on here. Like, I see, for instance, coming in at number 81 was Spice Up Your Life by the Spice Girls, which I know is your favorite song because that's your ringtone whenever you call.
Is it? That's weird.
No, I'm just joking. Like, come on. Nothing? Can't do jokes here?
No jokes tonight? You can. I just don't understand.
Okay. Edwin McCain's, I can't even say it because he's Southern, so he says it all be. It's I will be, you know, but I'll be. But it sounds
I'll be.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, because I'm from Georgia.
Yeah, that guy. That was a good one.
That guy.
I appreciated that.
Good jam. That was number 74 for 1998. Let's see who else we got here. Let's see here.
God damn.
Now you're back.
Hey, there we go.
Stupid internet.
Stupid internet.
Yeah, see, and this is perfect timing for Dune to come back because when he left, I was heartbroken, so I'm asking him the number 62 song of 1998 to quit playing games with my heart.
Wow. That was a good
see
one.
That?
Yeah.
I tried.
Well, hey, what was the 69th song?
That would be too much number. By the Spice Girls.
Oh, sick. That's tight as hell. That was when they started to go downhill.
I don't think anybody would actually want to be in a 69 position with any of the Spice Girls at this point.
I don't know what you're talking about because the one hottest one, I definitely would, and it seems like there's at least one other one that I definitely would as well.
Yeah, I can think of four of them.
Would you do it? I'm talking about like now, like 2017. Would you do
Absolutely.
It just for the stories, just to say
Probably.
That you've done it? Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do it just for the story. I'd do it out of primal urges.
That's what I'm saying.
There would be other reasons as well.
Oh. They make me zig-a-zig-ah.
Zig-a-zig-ah.
Yeah. Ooh, number 57 was Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind, which is everybody loves because it's such a poppy, happy song. Until you
doing crystal meth, lift you up until you break it won't stop. Tick-tock,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it took the bump that I was getting, and I bumped up. Yeah, whatever. That's like one of my favorite karaoke songs. That and Natalie Imbruglia's Torn. Those are my karaoke jams.
Are they really?
Oh, that's a great one.
I kind of want to go to karaoke tonight. Mike, you should go with me to the what's it called?
To the Limit.
What it,
to the brewery.
At the brewery?
The what are they? Why can't I remember? Heroic Ale Works.
Damn.
Yeah. hey, one of your favorite bands, Kevin. 1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies came in at number 51.
That's I know it's Canadian
one of the big
music.
Ones jumped up. Yeah. He loves guys to say a boot. He's a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Make Him Say by Master P.
Yeah, that one, that's no juvenile.
And Mystical. No, it's no Chewbacca. I know.
However, Chewbacca. Mystical is currently on Cash Money Records. Just letting you know.
Yelling. Number three
interesting
hit single
music
of the
fact
year.
That year okay. is that DMX put out two albums that year.
Wow.
That were both very well received, but hasn't done much.
That was pretty much it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Aerosmith, so, I don't want to miss a thing from the am I talking?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
No, you're talking. Yeah, you're talking. Yeah, we can hear you. Okay. If words are coming out of your mouth.
No, I'm just wondering if I had muted myself. From the movie with the asteroid.
Yeah. That was one of the number one songs
from
the
movies.
Year,
sick.
So definitely big shout out to our Comics Online Pirate Radio alum, Steve Monick. His first CD that he ever bought when he was a kid. Oh, no, he got it as a gift. I'm sorry. He got it as a Valentine's Day gift from his girl that he was dating at the time. And that would be Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping. That was the album that he got. That was number 35 for the year.
It's so weird that they're like a weird Crass-related band. Like, they came from that whole scene.
From what scene?
Yeah.
Crass.
What's that?
Big eye, little eye, bouncer, bass, system got you, but I won't get my... Crass is a English anarchist punk group that made a couple records in the early 80s and then like moved to some weird punk commune ever since with weird ideals and weird anarchist shit.
Oh.
They were really good
and
I was an edgy teenager.
Chumbawamba was part of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Chumbawamba was part of that scene, yeah. And, like, it was just the first time they ever hit mainstream was with this, like, very, like, inconsequential song when they were pretty much, you know, preaching about anarchy every other song. This one's about, you know, hey, let's drink and have fun and it'll be great. Like, yeah, so it was kind of not kind of off the beaten path, so.
Fair enough.
Let's see. What else we got here? Lots of boy bands, man. Ugh. 98 was the year of, like, shitty music by shitty people.
You leave Joey Fat One out of this. He is a national treasure. I just watched him on two episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and one episode of Impractical Jokers. I've been watching a lot of bad TV while I'm sick.
Oh, here we go, guys. We're getting into the top 20. This is all of the good songs here. So you got Usher. This is interesting. Usher had the number 15 and the number 16 song of 1998, and that was You Make Me Wanna and then My Way. So two songs back-to-back for Usher there.
That's how I like it,
back-to-back.
Getting Jiggy
with It was number 14. Don't we all?
Rubbing butts, baby.
Rubbing butts.
Ass to
Getting
ass.
Jiggy with It by Will Smith was number 14. Ass to ass. That movie came a little bit later, but apparently that's where it all started, was in 1998
with
Usher.
Came pretty early during that movie.
Destiny's Child was in at number 12. Celine Dion, number 13. My Heart Will Go On. Ugh, God, I hated that fucking song.
Yeah, I hate my life.
How's It Gonna Be was number 11 by Third Eye Blind. Elton John, Candle in the Wind, 1997. That was after Princess Diana died, wasn't it? He redid the song and re-released it.
In 1998, see, I have some music news from 1998. 1998 was the year that... Sir Elton John got sir'd. He took a knee before the Queen of England and got smacked with a sword or something, I assume. I wasn't there.
Taking knees before queens and getting smacked with their swords.
I'm just saying.
Fantastic.
It does fit with Elton John.
It's Elton John, come on.
Because he's a homosexual.
He's into it.
Yeah. Yes, that was, yes, thank you. That was a joke, yes. for those of you who needed the translation.
Speaking of homosexuals, 1998 in music news was also the year that George Michael got caught in a public restroom getting a blowjob or something. I don't know exactly what was going on. Again, I wasn't there. I swear, I was not there.
Cruising is not a crime.
It shouldn't be, but apparently it was. I think that's one of those things where it's like, oh, you're a celebrity, so we're gonna fuck you up because. You're a celebrity. But,
oh,
you know, just a normal
so
person. Who cares? Like, get the fuck out of people's business.
In Italy, in 1998, lo-fi flying U.S. military jets sever the cables of a ski lift in Italy, and 20 people plunge to their death. Jesus Christ.
Hell yeah.
That's why you shouldn't fly low, Mike. That should be a lesson to you.
Well, I mean, because, you know, when I'm flying my fighter jet through Italy, I often want to fly low over the Alps, but, you know, you choose not to. I'm just looking through some of the things that happened, and I'm trying to see if there was anything else big other than, you know, Clinton trying to help convince people he didn't get a blowjob.
That was so dumb, dude.
Microsoft went public?
You know, you got to kind of wonder, like, does he regret not just going, yeah, I fucking did it. Just shut the fuck up.
I spend most of my life trying to convince people that I have, in fact, had a blowjob.
I believe that you have.
I have had sexual relationship with this woman.
Hell yeah. Kevin, I've had sex.
That's what I've heard from two different girls. So he had it at least twice.
Hell yeah.
That's good that you've been vetted, though. That's important.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
The two that would admit to it. So there might have even been more.
Let's not push my luck.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
Wait, since we're finishing music and I went away for a little bit, I'm going to do my top five things that happened in music in 1998.
Aside from the George Michael thing?
That was so tight that dude got a blowjob. We just established it's the coolest thing you can do.
Okay, good.
Everyone's been blown in bathrooms at places, too.
Oh, that's true. I have. Have you, Mike?
Yep.
In a bathroom? No.
Yeah.
All right. Number five was Kid Rock releasing Devil Without a Cause, which is still one of the best-selling rap albums of all time.
That's terrible.
I think it went 11 times platinum.
I totally owned this album, too.
I hadn't even listened to it until, like, 2000... I want to say, like, 9? It's amazing how many times he rhymes, like, Kid Rock with, like, 10-foot cock. Which, if you're going to exaggerate your penis size, it's way better to go with, like, my name's Kid Rock, I have, like, a manageable 7-inch cock. Rather than, I have a 10-foot cock. It's absurd. I have to, like, wear around myself, like, some sort of, what are those things? Bandolier?
Bandolier.
There we go.
Like a floating device wrapped around my waist.
Yeah, Kid Rock, not good. Not good.
I remember listening to that album in high school and everyone thinking it was the greatest thing ever. Like, I just remember it blowing up. But I mean, this
really
is
bad, but I also, it was not accepted here. And still is not in this room. I don't think people are more into Kid Rock. Kid Rock is definitely a red state kind of dude.
Now he sings country songs, so yeah.
Number four of the bad shit that happened in music in 1998. Van Halen put out that album with Gary Cherone singing.
Which,
David Lee Roth is the greatest frontman of all time. And then Sammy Hagar is just no David Lee Roth, and they kind of went pussy. But, you know, at least he's still, like, talented. That Gary Cherone, dear God, that was such a mistake. What the fuck are the Van Halen brothers thinking? And what were they thinking when they kicked out
Extreme.
Michael Anthony and put his tubby's son playing bass?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wolfie, yeah.
Yeah, but that one should be stricken from the memories of people. Number three, Offspring put out Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Offspring Smash was the first thing I bought ever on cassette. And I was like, and so on and so forth. And then having all my punk friends in junior high that were older than me be like, this is the worst song I've ever heard. It's such an abortion, and they really fucked up everything. And then I was the first song I ever downloaded on Napster was Pretty Fly for a White Guy, so I can hear what the fuck everyone was talking about. And it was so bad. The 90s were obsessed with, like, the white wigger thing. Like, oh, that's so funny. He's white, but he's trying to be black. But man, that song was terrible. I hated that album. It just fuck that. Number two, Jerry Halliwell. She left the Spice Girls. That was Ginger Spice, and that was the beginning of the end for them. She was a little bit older than them. She was a Spice Woman. But it really tore the group apart. And they really did put out some great shitty pop songs.
They did spice up our lives.
Dude, Wannabe is such fire even in 2017. And the number one worst thing to happen to music in 1998 was the death of Frank Sinatra.
It's a bummer. I was going to say that. Well done.
Growing up with a big Italian family and stuff, and that was just always playing, you know? And it's a bummer.
Yeah, he's got a picture on the wall of all the Italian restaurants.
Who?
Frank Sinatra.
He's dead, dude. He died in 1998. I just explained this.
Well, no, I'm saying, but if you go into Italian restaurants...
you can still have pictures. You don't have to get rid of pictures once people are dead, dude.
Yeah, that's like, oh, yeah, we honor good old Frank.
I say gone, but forgotten.
Oh. All right. So that was a hell of a year. There's a lot to be said for music in 1998. I didn't remember how many.
It's influential. It's a turning point from getting away from like the 90s.
Yeah, trying to.
Do you know why Gary Cherone became the lead singer of Van Halen?
I hope
this is a joke.
Go on. Why?
Because it sucks.
Okay. Well, there's that. Yeah. So the story goes like this. So they're doing really, really well with Hagar. Like, they had a couple of really awesome albums and things were going extremely well. They were coming up on, I want to say it was like their 20th anniversary. And the Van Halen brothers were talking to Hagar and they were like, hey, listen, we want to do a 20th anniversary album. You know, we want to do, you know, a couple of new takes and stuff like that. We were thinking about talking to David Lee Roth. And Hagar was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, I'm just not really a big fan of his. You know, he's kind of a dick. So if you guys could just like let me know when you're going to do that so I'm not around. And they were like, oh, yeah, of course, because we respect you. And like the next day, David Lee Roth was like in the studio recording, never gave him heads up. Like, Hagar shows up to just record his cuts. He's like, what the fuck, man? And it became such a big fight that he was like, you know what, you guys like David Lee Roth so much, fucking take him, I'm out of here. And he left, and he was like, I'm not doing
shit
wrong with
you. Roth that much.
And like, what ended up happening was they were like, all right, well, you know what? For our 20th anniversary, we're getting back together with David Lee Roth. We're bringing the band back together, the original formation. And David Lee Roth was such a prick that it lasted for like 3 weeks. And they kicked him out again. And then they were like, well, now we got this big tour. Let's find somebody else. Gary Cherone, I guess, because he looks like a whatever. He's a douchebag, too. So sure, what the fuck? Why not? And like, it was all because of that interaction with their 20th anniversary album they were trying to do.
Damn.
That is interesting. I didn't read that in Crazy from the Heat, the autobiography of David Lee Roth.
Hey, Mike, you know what else came out in 1998?
You.
That's a lot of times. Let me tell you. Let's see, 98 was, I don't know, it was just my ex. Anyway, the first wife.
You were married.
Oh, really?
1998?
That's when you get... Jesus Christ,
from 94 to 2005.
You got married when I was 7?
Man.
Yeah. Shut up. Anyway.
94? Yeah, I was 12. Like, what the hell?
You guys suck. All right. I was 22, by the way. Anyway, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, no, I was 21, I think.
Do you not remember because of the Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's why. I was 22.
Jokes for days.
I was 22, you bastard. No, my hero, 98.
Who's your hero?
That would be by the Foo Fighters. That was off of.
I fucking
the color
hate
in the shape.
Foo Fighters.
Come on.
Just boring music with nothing to. I fucking hate Red Hot Chili Peppers too.
What?
Then that's slightly less boring. I just fucking hate them. But Foo Fighters are so bad.
You've
it's just generic rock for boring ass dudes.
Appreciates good music because both of those are solid.
Hurts my feelings.
So bad. And and Dave Grohl is such a blowhard douche. Every single band that he talks about is, you know, if it wasn't for the Pixies, there wouldn't be Nirvana. If it wasn't for Blondie, there wouldn't be any Nirvana. Every single one is like that. If it wasn't for Captain Beefheart, there wouldn't be any Nirvana. It's just, oh, God, he's so bad. He's just insufferably bad. He's like the nicest guy in the world, but he's just, fuck him.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, and Intergalactic?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
There's a lot of good fucking songs in 98.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. Okay. So we're moving on.
Well, I can say this. Let me say this real quick, though.
Your heart will go on. Is that what you're going to say?
Since he trashed all shit all over my favorite band.
Is your favorite band the Foo Fighters? There's nothing to them.
Nirvana was my favorite band. Nirvana was my favorite band as a kid, and then they just trained. Dave Grohl started off on his own, did his own thing. I was like, well, these guys are fucking awesome. I'm gonna stick with them. But I will say this: they do not endorse a really shitty soda that's only sold in Michigan, aka Faygo. So at least I got
No, but I'm not saying that ICP is good. I'm saying they're terrible.
I'm saying
I got in at the right point at 13. And then I have an insane obsession with like David Bowie and like Cradle of Filth and all sorts of bands that tell a big story per album, and that's what they do.
Oh, no, but I got
but I am saying the Foo Fighters are just nothing. They're just nothing. They're just white bread, lightly toasted, but not enough to get a crunch. They're just nothing.
Sliced.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that we.
I'm not going to play I'm not going to play apologetics with the Foo Fighters. It's everybody's to each their own when it comes to music. So.
Yeah. Well, Mike. You know, with regard to music in 1998, let's just say that I don't want to miss a thing, and I believe my heart will go on.
I don't want to miss a thing. Is the Goo Goo Dolls?
Those were the top three.
Oh no, it's the Aerosmith. I don't like Aerosmith either.
Yeah.
That was.
You're thinking of Iris. Iris was by the Goo Goo Dolls. That came out
when I used to go to karaoke at a gay bar because it was the closest bar to my house and it was like a regular. There was one super serious dude who'd get dressed up and only do Goo Goo Dolls songs all night, and it was so weird. And he wouldn't drink at the bar; he'd go outside in between his turns and just wait to sing more Goo Goo Dolls in front of people. It was so bizarre.
That makes me want to do that myself. I want to become that guy.
I'm trying to remember what Metallica album it was, but it was the one that had Until It Sleeps on it. And there was a guy that would go to the local bar that was up the street from my house whenever they had karaoke night. And he would dress in like all Metallica stuff. Like, I didn't even know Metallica made like sweatpants and socks Metallica and such.
You better recoup those downloads money. That download money.
Exactly. Yeah. And he would sing like three or four songs off of that particular album at karaoke. And like, it wasn't like lighthearted either. Like, I mean, he put on his metal face while he was doing it. Like, I mean, it was intense. And, like,
that was me. I was that intense doing Humpty Dance.
People say, yo, Dune, you're kind of funny looking. That's okay, because I get things cooking.
They stare. No. They glare. They constantly try to compare me. Okay. Sorry.
You just won me over. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what are we doing next? Comics?
You lost me at the Foo Fighters. You lost me at the Foo Fighters, but you won me back with Humpty. So thank you.
Oh, what did I say about that terrible band?
Are we going to roll into movies, Mike?
Hell yeah.
I can do movies. I like movies.
All right, let's do movies.
Movies are wonderful. So 1998 had a couple of really big films. We mentioned it already with Aerosmith's Don't Want to Miss This Thing. The number one grossing movie of 1998 was Armageddon.
In Deep Impact?
I remember seeing it. And it, funny, oddly enough, that's actually number six. The same
are you thinking
basic
of
story. Ants.
It's a shitty version of Bugs Life. Yeah.
Exactly. Bugs Life actually was number five on the list. But Armageddon, like, I don't feel like Armageddon stuck with me. I remember the movie, sort of. I remember there were animal crackers and there was an asteroid and Bruce Willis dies, and I don't really remember anything else about that. I think Billy Bob Thornton was in it, too.
The best part of Armageddon is, I've only seen clips of it online, but the commentary track has Ben Affleck just tearing apart how shitty the movie is. And I guess Michael Bay at one point, when he asks like a question, just told him to shut up. And it's fantastic.
Nice.
I can't hear anything. Okay, cool. All right, what other movies came out? I've seen movies.
Hey, you know what? You know what came out that is also a musical and movie is Mulan.
Yeah, that was. I didn't think that movie was that big. I didn't think that Mulan was as big a gross as it was. I mean, it grossed $304 million, so it must have done
something
right. Well,
they're still riding on the good movie train from Disney, where it started with Little Mermaid and Lion King and Aladdin and so on from there.
Maybe
and
it was
kind of the tide rushed back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then Moana came out, which is the greatest movie of all time.
Moana is pretty awesome.
Dude. Who would have thought that number three in 1998, the third most highest grossing movie of 1998 was Godzilla?
That was
the Matthew Broderick version.
That was terrible.
Oh, God. The Puff Daddy just stealing the Led Zeppelin song. Just doing Kashmir. Oh, God. That was such a bad movie.
And not even doing anything with it. Like, it's just the Kashmir line running through and him just going, uh-huh, yeah. And that was the song.
Puff Daddy's bad.
He got paid for that. Like
he's rap game Foo Fighters.
Oh.
Number four was There's Something About Mary, which I mean, fucking Fairley Brothers. They were in their zone at this point. Everything they were putting out was gold too. Bug's Life was number five. Deep Impact number six. Mulan number seven. Dr. Doolittle. Wait, that's got to be a typo.
Eddie Murphy.
No way that was number eight. Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that made some
bucks. That's before Madea came around, and they're really latching on to just one main character, Blackified.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anyone who saw it.
It almost made $300 million.
Oh, I saw it.
I don't think I saw it.
I didn't see it in theater, but I saw it and, later.
On an airplane?
Probably.
Yeah.
Number nine, we got Shakespeare in Love. And then number 10, you had Lethal Weapon 4. So those are your top 10, but there were a lot of other really, really good movies that came out in 1998 that did not make this list.
I saw Lethal Weapon 4 in theaters where my mom was being such a badass and took us to one movie and then snuck us into that one after. It was tight. It was rated R. I was like, 11 or 12, and I got to see it illegally. Nice. That's how I got my life prime.
My mom took me to go see The Devil's Advocate, the one with Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino. I was like maybe 13, 14 years old, and there's definitely boobs in that movie. And
hell yeah.
There's nothing more uncomfortable. I mean, I don't know about you California guys with your weird lifestyles that you guys live.
Hey.
But here on the East Coast where, Christianity is king, we don't like seeing nudity with our parents.
I also don't like being in sexual situations with my mom. Call me an anomaly, but it makes me very uncomfortable.
Hey, you know what's important about 1998? In the movie scene?
Shit, does it say who's fucking playing us in the movie?
No, but it's Miramax, so I'm sure it'll be Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They put them in a bunch of movies.
Who?
Those kids from Good Will Hunting.
You mean that fucking movie with Morph from Work in it?
Yeah, I wasn't
mixing. Oh, wait, come on. I just wanted this one quote.
Phantoms. Word, bitch. Phantom's like a motherfucker. What's up,
man? All right. Ben Affleck. I was trying to get Ben Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Oh. Yep. I never saw Phantoms.
Yeah, motherfucking Phantoms. So some other great movies. Saving Private Ryan came out in 1998.
The first 15 minutes of that is so insane.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that is some intense shit. The Big Lebowski, one of my favorite movies of all time, came out in 1998. Absolutely
Foo
love
Fighters
that movie.
Of movies.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm kidding. I love that movie. I just wanted to touch on it because people that love it absolutely love it. No. It's so anti Foo Fighters.
American History X. Not a movie that is for the faint of heart, but an excellent movie and kind of timely in today's day and age. So if you've never seen that one, definitely check it out. A great movie with Edward Norton when his reign of being a douchebag and pissing off all the people he worked with started. Dark City, which is a surprisingly underrated sci-fi movie, came out in 1998.
I do love Jennifer Connelly.
We can thank Blade. Because in 1998, this movie came out. If it wasn't for Blade showing that a comic book movie could, like a no-name title, essentially, because Batman had already been out, Superman had already been out, but Blade making a decent flick showed that they could make more viable comic book movies. Because before this, it was a struggle. Like studios were like, we can't touch comic books. Nobody wants that. Definitely. Blade was pretty. I mean, I thought the first one was okay. I wasn't a huge fan of the comic books.
The rest of them are terrible.
I like the rest of them too, but I had a special what do you want to say, affinity for the first one, just because I was lucky enough to throw the premiere party at Comic-Con that year.
Sweet.
That was fun times. 1998, when you were how old? 11?
At Comic-Con? Well, Comic-Con's always around my birthday, so I don't know. So I could have been 11 or 12. I definitely would have gone that year, though.
Well, and here's a movie. Here's a movie, too, that probably didn't watch. Are you
the dude that brought me in the bathroom as Captain America outfit?
Let's forget about that.
Oh, God.
Is that how you guys met?
You made me your Bucky.
Just start bucking.
Just like George Michael.
Yeah.
I heard that George Michael
was consensual.
It I feel like this is a movie that every kid who was in high school at this time, like, watched, but they probably weren't supposed to. They somehow got their hands on it, and that would be Wild Things. The Neve Campbell, Matt Dillon, and why can I not remember her name? I know Kevin Bacon was in it, and then why can I not remember her name right now?
Denise Richards.
Thank you very much, Denise Richards.
Damn, Denise Richards is the best.
Yeah.
And Starship Troopers and shit. And
she was in a lot of really bad things, but I feel like, you know, she just made bad choices. Like, I feel like she's probably a way better actor than...
I like her way more now that I know she makes bad choices.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Well, she might have the HIV, though, because she was with Charlie Sheen, so you gotta watch
that.
Yeah.
It's okay, I'll
The Faculty.
Get it that way.
You can't get it if you're on top. The Faculty, which was like every like hip young actor was in that one. Fucking John Stewart was in this movie. He was a teacher in The Faculty. I remember that.
I'm gonna give
a very unpopular geek opinion right now. The movie Rushmore came out in 1998. Mm-hmm. I can't fucking stand Wes Anderson. I cannot stand anything Wes Anderson does.
It's like the same fucking Juno vibe of like, we know we're quirky. Look how quirky we are. They're like manufactured independent bullshit. I don't like it at all.
It was fine.
I don't care either way.
As Dune mentioned before, Ants came out in 1998. Yeah. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which I'm a huge Hunter S. Thompson fan. I loved this movie. Yeah, this was a great flick.
I put it off as long as I could. Here. And now I'm finally reading the last book he did before he died because I've read everything else numerous times.
Yeah.
It's all sports stuff, and I don't care about sports. And it's pretty mediocre and not enjoyable, but I'm still kind of power through just to cross off everything he's done on the list, except for whatever, the Jellyfish one that hasn't been released yet. But even like Rum Diaries, which came out way late, was fantastic, the book.
Yeah.
Oh, but you hated the movie, right?
But I hate what?
The movie?
Rum Diaries? I never even finished it. It was so boring.
I remember you were on a podcast and you were saying that you hated the movie.
Oh, I you know, if I hate something, I'm sure I said it for good reason.
Okay.
but God, I love Hunter Thompson.
Let's see what else we got here. I'm just looking through the list. I mean, there was a ton of good movies that came out.
I reread The Curse of Lono before I went to Hawaii last summer. And it made it better because he was on the big island during all that.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, you know what else was good that came out in 98? The first X-Files movie. I loved that movie.
That's right, yeah. So one of the worst movies of all time by one of the worst... You're goddamn right, yes. One of the worst actors slash
I've never even heard of this.
Vincent Gallo is the worst. Absolutely.
I don't know who that is.
And be glad that you don't, because he is known for... Okay, so imagine if you will, that you convince a young Hollywood starlet to be in your movie, right?
Okay.
And really the only reason why you have her in the movie is so that she can perform fellatio on you and you can show it on film. That was essentially the crux of most of his movies. And this is why the guy doesn't get work in Hollywood anymore, because he did that with Chloe Sevigny, like, and I can't remember what the name of that movie was, but yeah, that's essentially that ruined his career. Just trying, and like, you could, it was almost It's like a bet. You could just imagine him and his friends being like, dude, I bet you can't get away with putting this in a movie. I bet you can, and I'll show it at the Cannes Film Festival. And he did.
Yeah, I can do Fear and Loathing, but I'll make all the drugs real. Give me my idea of a good movie.
And Pi, which I still haven't seen.
I didn't like it. I thought it was overrated.
Pi, the one about the mathematician dude?
I think so.
That drills a hole in his head? Spoilers?
Wait, are you talking about Life of Pi, or are you talking about Pi, the one done by Darren Aronofsky?
Yeah, the
Aronofsky. I don't know who makes
one.
I'm talking about the weird black and white one about the mathematician who puts a drill to his dome.
Is that what happens? I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It might be another movie.
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Or am I thinking of American Pie? Does anyone put a drill to their own head in American Pie?
Probably not.
No, he drilled a pie, but you know, it's kind of a different thing.
The first porn I ever owned was a VHS tape called American Hair Pie.
That is hilarious. Yeah.
That's all.
First one I ever had was I had to buy it when I was 18, and I saw it in the adult video shop, and it was in Diana Jones and the Temple of Poon, and I was like, I've got to buy this.
Fantastic. Like, yeah, we all watched Lord of the Rings when we were younger too, which was great as well.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I could never find it again. I should Google that.
Do you know, Dune, Lydekker's down what's that street called in OB?
I don't know a place called Lydekker's.
Lydekker's, it's over. Do you know where the Quick Stop is in OB?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically across the street from the Quick Stop. Anyway, that's where I would go. It's just one of these, you know, little convenience stores. That's where I would go for VHS porn. And they had like this basket of, you know, that was just ill-shaped. And, you know, you had to like dig a bunch of tapes out to see what was below them. And, you know, they would be like, I don't know, $4 or $5 or something like
you
that.
You dig through, you'd be like, gay, passable tranny, all right. Any porn store.
Just about. Just all a bunch of like really bad old stuff that they, you know, must have got from somewhere in bulk, and it was just
giant terrible cassette like boxes.
Yeah, to where it's way bigger than the cassette.
The huge brick, yeah.
You know, and you're just like, can I get a bag to put this in so I'm not walking down the street with fucking Endless Blowjobs Part 6?
The blowjob's got to end at some point, you know. We all got work to do.
Oh, they had a little device in the tape to where it never had to rewind. It would just kept going around. It was just taped to its
own. How can you be kind?
See, that's the thing. You just basically give blowjobs. Remember
VHS tape rewinders like as a separate item?
Isn't that funny?
That's so fucking weird. What a weird time.
What a waste of money that thing was. Yeah, because you know your VCR could do that yourself. Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good invention. It's terrible.
Being that you guys, well, actually, I don't know if you're actually into this or not, Dune. So I'll have to ask. Are you a sports fan at all?
No.
Okay. So then I'll make the sports part of this real quick, and then we'll let Kevin do his thing.
So I like hockey a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll watch the big MMA fights. That's it. I'd like soccer to come to San Diego, but I don't think it's going to.
Hey.
I like the Cholos.
You guys don't have soccer there? I'm surprised.
What happened to the San Diego Soccer? Do they no longer play?
No, they haven't for a long time. The goals are back in full force.
Really?
Yeah. But no, everyone in San Diego's in the Cholos because they're fantastic. And they have that system where they were like the bottom division in Mexico, and now they're like the first division in kicking ass. Cholos, number one, baby. Caliente.
Is that really what they're called? Cholos?
Cholo Quilites. Whatever that dog is, like the hairless weird dog.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Ooh, Star Trek Insurrection.
Oh, that movie was so bad.
Wait, it had what's his radness? Tom Hardy.
Yeah, but still.
No, that's you're thinking of Nemesis. Nemesis.
Oh,
was,
yeah,
Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Insurrection's the one, the planet, and Tom Morello played one of the aliens.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
I also don't like Rage Against
the
Machine, but I respect him.
Okay. That's fair enough. Like, Rage Against the Machine is my number two favorite band, so, yeah, okay.
But I respect that. They're no Foo Fighters.
I'll take it. It's good enough. So, quick on the sports, then. The Michigan Wolverines were the national champions of football in college. They beat the Washington State Cougars. The only thing that was notable about this game is the dude who was the quarterback for the Washington State Cougars was this guy named Ryan Leaf. And you guys might know him in San Diego because he fucked your football team up for like 6 years.
Fuck that guy.
Now, see, doesn't that make you feel sad now?
We don't have a football
now?
Team here.
No, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
You can thank Ryan.
The NFL is...
Thank Ryan Leaf for that.
And no longer exists for us, San Diego.
That's why Kevin's with me on the Raider Nation, baby.
Well, I'm with you on going to Las Vegas.
As they move to Vegas.
I'm with you on going to Las Vegas.
They don't have a home. That's part of the appeal. They're rambling.
Yeah.
So even for you guys, as you know, or Dune as a Raiders fan, apparently... This
I'm just a contrarian.
Bit.
If they're hated another team, I'd be into them.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. The Denver Broncos won Super Bowl 32 against the Green Bay Packers. They won 31-24. Why is this memorable or why is this notable? Because, like, if you're a football fan at all, John Elway, at this point, up until this point, had lost 4 Super Bowls. Like, every Super Bowl he went, they got obliterated and it was sad and you felt bad for the dude. And this one, the game was, like, tied.
I don't feel bad for rich dudes.
And, like, as far as, like, you know, an athlete in general. But, like, the game's tied. He's marching down the field. He's trying to get his team to score. And he at this point, he's, like, almost 40, I think. And he, like, runs for the first down and, like, gets hit. And he, like, helicopters around and, like, lands on the ground and gets back up. And he's all pumped
whips
up.
His
and
dick
like,
out?
Yeah, yes, that kind of helicoptering, yes. Just in front of it. This is why it's such a memorable Super Bowl, dude. Obviously.
That's way better than half a fake boob.
Hey, you know, it's pretty damn exciting. In baseball, this was the year that the New York Yankees just beat the bejesus out of your San Diego Padres. They swept them in 4 games, which was depressing for anybody who likes baseball because the Yankees are horrible.
No,
but it was
really
also
good.
The year that
you guys don't like them.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Well,
it's
they have all the money
because it's so fucking boring. It's so boring.
This was the year that Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were just hitting home runs left and right. Like they shattered the record of 61 home runs in a season. And then we find out that they're both on steroids and that Sammy Sosa had corked his bat a lot of times too. So it turned out they were both cheaters. So we got that going for us.
Steroids aren't cheating. And then, they're all finding different ways to get around it. And they should just let it be.
It
makes
it
the game actually
let it
interesting.
Be. I would like it if they're just like, nope, do whatever you want.
Remember those Mutant League games?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I want
the
Mutant League
Sega?
Baseball. Yeah. Like the hockey one, you could kill the goalie and you just there'd be no goalie. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's how I want baseball to be. Just like NFL Blitz, which came out in 1998.
Hmm.
I like it like that.
Just tackling people like mid play before they even got the ball. Yeah. You could break the rules. Didn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah,
I used to piss my little brother off because he could never beat me in that game because I would wait for his receivers to catch the ball and then I would tackle them before the ball got there and he would get so mad and cry and throw the controller. So
that's mean.
Yeah,
I was a little brother.
Yeah,
I was about to say I used to cry a lot, but I realized I still cry a lot.
So. Just these days.
Yeah.
As far as like more sports stuff, real quick, the Washington Capitals, my favorite hockey team, get destroyed in the Stanley Cup Finals by the Detroit Red Wings. This is the last time, so it's been now 20, or it'll be 20 years here in next year since any Washington team has made a championship. So this was the last time was 1998, and it was also the year that Cal Ripken Jr. stopped his streak of consecutive games where it was something ridiculous. Like he played in 2,632 straight baseball games, which is just obscene.
I didn't get destroyed by the Red Wings until like 2003. Oh, that was a fun time. That was a fun time, friends, in that lifestyle. Oh boy,
I don't get it at all.
Never mind.
Okay.
He'll draw you a picture and show you later.
I'll draw you a picture, yeah.
You don't have to draw me a picture. You can just explain it.
I'm just saying that, you know, I was doing the stuff.
There's so much stuff, Kevin. I don't know which stuff specifically.
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you off
all
right.
Oh, for fuck's sake, it's not even censored, man. Just say what it is.
Red Wings, you're not aware of what this is, really?
Is that going down there, girl? She's that or just fucking her?
Yeah.
Which one?
The first
you can't
one.
Say yes to. Oh, yeah.
going down. You have to be tasting the pennies.
Tasting the pennies.
Yeah, tasting the pennies, yes.
It doesn't even deserve a term. It's part of life.
Part of life.
Kevin, why don't you do video games and come?
Oh, you know what? I think we forgot a couple of things, Mike. On your, I'll go into my other stuff, but we forgot Big Lebowski.
No, we didn't.
No, we mentioned Big Lebowski.
Did you?
It's the what not a, Foo Fighters of movies.
Instead of the Foo Fighters of movies.
I got thrown off by your talk calling it the Foo Fighter of movies. Also, The Wedding Singer and Palmetto.
Oh yeah, yeah. Palmetto was good, with, and so with was
Woody Harrelson. No, you know what it is. The shoe. Anyway.
Yeah, Palmetto. It was Woody Harrelson. It was a almost like a film noir. It wasn't in black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
Very like whodunit.
Oh, it's
like,
not the quintessential thing that makes film noir. Interesting.
Man.
Yeah. So I guess it would just be film.
It was like a cartoon, but with people.
All right. All right.
Well, there are like cartoons with people.
You mean it was just?
You ever
film.
Watched The Big Bang Theory? That's a cartoon with people.
I don't watch them.
Characters of people. Be glad that you don't. It's horrible.
All right.
So,
I guess cartoon with people is like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
You know, there you came go. Out yeah. in, okay. in 1998.
That came out in like 1989 or something.
No, 89, yeah.
I'm talking about 98 here, people.
I know. We're still parked in 1998 in our time machine waiting to get some of that. I don't know what kind of food was out then. Like, you know, pizza at McDonald's. Was that then?
Those 3D Doritos. Eat those. Oh, some Surge. Yeah. Drink some Surge.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hey, LucasArts made Star Wars Rebellion. That was a bad game. StarCraft came out in 98. That was a good one.
Is it a Korean holiday, the game that came out? Or the day it came out?
What? There's a Korean holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In remembrance of it, you eat kimchi while screaming horrible epithets at people when they kill you with one of their rakes.
Oh. That's fun.
You guys didn't know that? Jeez, come on.
No, apparently not. Unreal, of the Unreal Engine fame. Unreal came out in 98.
That was the first game that gave me a simulator sickness. So shout out to that.
Oh, yeah. For a lot of people.
Dude, I think that would be a great name for a band. Is Simulator Sickness?
Better than the Foo Fighters. That is a good name, though.
Gran Turismo for PlayStation came out in 98. X-Men versus Street Fighter came out. As Dune said earlier, Banjo-Kazooie for N64.
Yeah. And Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. I'm still not seeing that listed in my list, but I'll believe you.
All right.
Fallout 2.
Oh yeah, I played that one too.
Damn, I don't even remember. Dude. Like,
I didn't the Fallout series has been around for that long.
For real,
it was fucking long, long time ago. I didn't realize Fallout 2 was that long ago. Let's see what else. Things that were overrated. Oddworld, Abe's Exodus. That was stupid. Turok 2. Stupid.
Really? I like that game. I thought Oddworld was fun. It was kind of weird, but it was enjoyable.
When Turok 1 came out, I was at like a slumber party in like 5th or 6th grade.
Uh-huh.
And we were baffled by the Blockbuster box said Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter, which is still how I think about it. But then we watched Event Horizon, and it fucked me up.
Oh.
That's the reason I don't go in space, even now.
Event Horizon.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
Well, the movie is fucked up. I love it, though. It's so disturbing. No,
it's fantastic now.
At
but
least
it was
Event
not
Horizon good. Had Lawrence Fishburne to punch the evil in the face.
Yeah, but like I didn't have a pube to guard me from that terror.
No. also in 1998... Half-Life came out.
Oh.
You know, so that's the first one. Came out for PC and PS2 eventually. Tomb Raider 3 came out for PlayStation and and for Windows. And then DDR came out.
Wow, a new record.
Yeah, wow, a new record. Oh, yeah, Ocarina of Time. Ta-da! StarCraft Brood War, and that's like, you know, early DLC, except for the D was not a part of it because it wasn't downloadable.
It's always a shame when the D's not available.
Yeah, that's what she said. All right.
That's Grindr now.
Yeah.
The D's always
available. Always available.
I have a buddy who's got the HIV and just constantly meets dudes, just open like, hey, my body's full of poison. You want to meet up? They're like, yeah, no problem, dude.
What?
It's crazy. Like young, good looking dudes, people, there's just no problem getting the D.
What? That's can.
It's a turn on for them.
That's.
I don't know.
An early episode of the Comics Online podcast. I don't think it was that early. It was like season 11-ish. I was over at Dune's house, and we went over to Fred's house, and Fred was telling me all about this, about with the, you know, the dudes who were trying to, like,
oh, bug chasing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing.
That's so freaky.
It's funny too. I was listening to someone from the Center for the Disease Control talking to Bert Kreischer because he made a joke about straight people getting AIDS, and they're like, you know what we call a straight man that has HIV in the Center for Disease Control? A liar. And because like even like intravenous stuff, it's hard to get aside from receiving anal sex from someone who's infected. That's like the only way you can get it.
Wow.
And oh, by the way, also those chances of getting it aren't good. It's like 1 in 500 with no protection. It's just gay dudes bang so much.
Damn.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I'm thinking about banging.
Obviously you are.
I just feel like that should be a tagline somewhere. Like, gay dudes bang so much. Like
they do.
It needs to be like on a...
It makes sense.
Like,
that
should be like it's literally a dude saying, hey, this... Like a fraction of a millimeter thing of a rubber, that's the only thing that's protecting you from taking years off your life. And they're like, oh, yeah, cool. Stick it in me.
That's nuts.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But I never had an STD because I don't have sex.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
That's brave of you.
I did a week ago. Less than.
Less than good. A week ago?
Yeah.
With your ex?
Which could be anyone.
Was somebody off a Grindr?
No, I made a joke to her about being in Grindr, and she was like, you're on? And I was like, no, it's the gay one. It was a joke. I don't want to. Like, I still have the thing where I'm from. Like, it's weird that I'm put in the millennial book because I still remember not having the internet and shit like that. Like, there was, like, exciting as hell when we finally got, like, a 14.4.
I had a kid before I had the internet.
Jesus, how'd you figure out about sex?
Well, I told you, I went down to Lineker's in OB.
Excellent.
You fit in a weird in-between spot. You're not a millennial, you're not a Gen Xer, and I think they're calling them Xennials with an X. It's in-between spot.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, was my main point about all this? Oh, I still have the weird thing. I would never sign up for like internet dating anything because the shame.
What are you talking about?
Ashamed if I had if someone I knew was like going through Tinder, swiping on things. They're like, look at fucking pathetic Zachary Mackery needs to resort to the internet for intercourse.
Dude, that's what
I'm still of that mindset.
That's stupid. Yeah, that's like everybody does it. That's how, like, last year when I was dating again, I was, you know, I was on all the fucking shit, and, you know, not Grindr.
It sounds stupid, but, like, meeting people online that way ends up being so much more enjoyable than meeting somebody in person because there's...
Because you already know...
I'm telling you, man.
If they're actually interested in
you. I'm not looking to date, by the way. I feel like you guys are trying to sway me when I don't want to date anyone.
No. I'm not saying you want to date now, but maybe a year from now, you're going to be like, I should probably get something going on. And I'm saying at that point, whenever that point happens, you know, at whatever time period is you're happy with, you know, yes, I definitely think you should.
I wasn't asking. I said I'm ashamed to do so.
I just think it's funny that you're talking about dating here. You didn't. Yeah. You didn't see Kevin's menagerie of poon that he was getting when he was single. Like it's
oh, that does not sound appealing to me.
Menagerie. Because they were all animals. You see.
I don't need a menagerie. I just want one like tight ass toucan.
Yeah.
Things they can do with that big ass beak of theirs. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When they put it in there, then open up. Wow.
Oh, don't do that when I'm drinking. All right.
Sorry.
But
until
also,
then, I'll just have to use toucan hand.
Star Wars Rogue Squadron came out. Falcon 4.0 came out, if you remember that, the flight simulator. There was a South Park video game? What?
Yeah.
I remember
it was
fun.
Terrible. Like
wow, we had different.
Yeah, it wasn't like a great game. It wasn't like, man, this game's amazing. No, it was stupid. It was fun. Like you basically had snowball fights. Like it was first person shooter, but you were throwing snowballs.
FPS with snowballs. That was it. And then people just repeating the same two lines again and again.
And then Baldur's Gate, which I always wanted to play it, but I never did. I played the one before it. That's one of those D&D games. You know, what eventually, you know, things like, WoW and shit like that. I guess it's more of a precursor to what's the other one that's a single-player game? Something to do with the dragon?
Dragon Age?
Dragon Age, yes. Isn't it an actual precursor to that?
Haven't you reached Dragon Age?
Well, no.
Is that like AARP age, like after you've met retirement age?
No, it's just the age at which you're just constantly dragging ass.
Kevin was born in the year of the dodo, which they had to retire once the bird was extinct.
Easy Jay Leno with your risky comedy there.
And then it's my favorite game of 1998 that is listed on this list that I'm looking up. Myth 2 Soulblighter. I loved Myth and Myth 2. Fucking solid. Bungie, I fucking love Bungie. I wish that they hadn't been fucking so very crushed by the fucking Microsoft bullshit.
Hey, let me make a joke for the neckbeards.
Yeah.
Myth Age 2? Do you mean the New Testament?
good job.
Yeah.
Anyway, Myth was great. It was, good job. Put your fedora back. It was one of these games that was it's called Real Time Tactics. All right, that'll do. It's like a real time strategy sort of thing. Fucking solid.
All of life is real time strategy.
Yeah. I wish if it was turn-based, I'd be way better at life.
Oh, yeah, you could think about things.
There's people standing there, or you had the boxes of, the different choices you could make and the things that you could say and choose whether or not you were going to say them instead of having to come up with it real-time.
Yeah.
That would be enjoyable.
That would be good.
That ruins all of conversing.
Well, I mean...
I got a lot of things to say, and there's not an option for all of them.
No.
Dude, well, and even better,
a lot of times
too, if it like told you your stats too, it was like, convince this girl that she should come back, use your plus 17 charisma. Like, it would just make things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but plus 17 charisma comes with like a lot lower liver HP. And that's not going
that's,
well.
That's where Dune spent all of his fucking leveling up points.
Sure as hell wasn't int or dex or strew.
So also this year...
I wish I had high emotional defense, Kevin. I'm so sad.
Pokemon Red and Blue for Game Boy came out. Spyro the Dragon, Mega Man Legends, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. That's the only good stuff that I'm going to talk about. Yeah, anyway, so there's a bunch of good games on... on PC and Mac, of course. Bungie was primarily a Mac thing, and then they also published on PC. And then And then, of course, for PlayStation and N64, there was a solid amount of stuff. And then the handhelds were pretty new to things.
Tight.
Yep.
1998.
That was 1998. Mike, 1998. What happened on the television? What happened on your CRT television in 1998?
On my TV? Yeah. Well, everybody's favorite witches, and witches, not bitches, that would be Charmed, started in 1998. And so did Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek also started in 1998. This was the year of the WB. Their two biggest shows came out in 1998.
That's Fred's favorite show.
Nice.
We got to see a young Ryan Reynolds debut on a show on ABC called Two Guys and a Girl.
A pizza place.
Yeah.
It was originally his name, and then it became. Yeah, and then it just became Two Guys and a Girl. Yeah. Oddly enough, it's interesting that we're doing this episode because my wife and I just started binge watching on Netflix that '70s show from the beginning, and the first year it premiered was 1998.
Wow.
What else we got here?
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Danny Masters is a Scientologist who's been accused of rape numerous times.
Shocker. Like I had a project for Comics Online to do. We had it was a documentary about Scientology to watch and then review, but it was so bad I couldn't review it.
Which documentary?
It was
the Louis Theroux one was great.
It was my Scientology documentary.
Oh, you didn't like that? I loved the problem with it.
No, the problem with it though is it came out like 3-4 years ago, and since then there have been other documentaries that are better than that. And this is the first time that I've watched it was because they're re-releasing it on digital
HD. Like Going Clear before that and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, had I
think
I watched
about getting into Scientology all the time. I just don't have the money.
Yeah, that's the problem. You got to be rich in order to do it. Yeah, but like I've noticed that now it's starting to affect my taste in actors and whether or not I'll watch their projects. And I was severely upset when I found out that Jason Lee was a Scientologist. I was like, damn, I kind of lost my respect.
I thought he was not involved anymore for some reason. Speaking of fucking 1998 being a great year for skateboarding, he used to be pretty rad.
Yeah.
I got no problem with Jason Lee, but I also love My Name is Earl so much.
I do. Yeah, me too.
You too, yeah.
Except for that one terrible Coma season.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad. And then the ending, the fact that we never got an ending was pretty crappy too. But
Greg Garcia explained what the ending was on Reddit AMA a while ago, which was nice.
Oh, really? So how's it supposed to end in the end?
It was all a dream.
No, Earl was getting discouraged in his list and bummed out because he realized he's never going to cross everything off because he keeps adding things to it. And then someone comes up to him and tries to mark something off the list, that their own list. And he's like, how do you have a list too? And he's like, oh, I heard about it from this dude. I heard about it from this dude. And it turns out that his whole thing was infectious and he changed the world by being a good person.
It inspired others to follow in his shoes, which was kind of cool. So looking at some of these other shows, interestingly enough, we were just talking about Scientology, The King of Queens, starring Leah Remini, who was a Scientologist, who is now who's doing the documentary Going Clear. First year of King of Queens was 1998. This is interesting. If you look on IMDb, it shows that the first year of Whose Line Is It Anyway was 1998. But anybody who actually remembered this show and watched this show knows that that was just the bastardized version that Drew Carey hosted on ABC because it had been done for years before.
Yeah, well, that's just American
on British television.
Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
The Drew Carey version, that's when it started.
Kevin, one of your favorite shows of all time, I know, Love Boat, The Next Wave.
Oh yeah,
came out in 1998.
I tell you what, as a kid, I watched. I definitely watched The Love Boat and fucking Fantasy Island back to back every whatever day of the week that was. Those were some good shows when you were a kid, or when I was a kid anyway. Not when you were a kid. When you were a kid, it wasn't even in syndication anymore.
Yeah, I was stuck watching Dukes of Hazzard.
I got my jam that was the Throwback was Three's Company. I loved Three's Company when I was a kid, and that was way past my time. I was, you know, kid of the 80s, and Three's Company was done by the end of the 70s. Two big Nickelodeon shows, The Wild Thornberries and Cat Dog, premiered in 1998 as well. Cat Dog just raised a lot of questions. Where do they poop from? Because, like, if the dog eats something, does the poop come out of the cat's mouth? Is there, like, a shared anus in between the two of them? Like, what's going on? Or is there, like, another... Maybe it's like a metaphysical thing where there's another cat dog out there where it's just a butt, two butts up against each other.
Wait, I can solve this because I have a doctorate in metaphysics from the Universal Life Church.
It's just belly button anus. Sisters.
It bums me out because that's what Fred used to call Yoda, was cat dog, because he was a cat but behaved like a dog.
Oh.
But now he's dead and I'm sad.
Oh.
No.
Made myself
R.I.P. Yoda.
Anyway, so hey, we got to run through the comics real quick because I have to leave soon. I should be headed out the door really, really darn soon. So hey, 1998.
And we're running out of time. On our DeLorean is running out. Yeah, we gotta
there
go.
You go.
Let's just stay in 1998.
Comics. Yeah, what's that?
Let's just stay in 1998. It doesn't matter if the battery runs out.
Yeah, we'll just stay here.
We can guide future ourselves and not make all the horrible decisions we did.
Oh, that would be good.
We can make a lot of money telling people that George W. Bush is going to become president. Like, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can abort Kendrick when he's like 5 years old.
he was three at this point.
Jesus Christ.
You know, not abort him, but maybe you leave him in the bath alone for a long time.
Running him over a couple of years later.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I'd punch that bitch out.
Oh my God.
Plus, you're already talking about the menagerie of women. Imagine when he got a dead son.
Pity for a woman in the world. Hey,
you're so strong for getting through that.
Dune, Kendrick's going to come to San Diego to Comic-Con, so that'll be fun. You get to see your favorite.
Wait, I don't have any problem with Kendrick. You say it like I do. I like Kendrick.
Oh, good. All right. So here's what happened in comics in 1998. In February, Superman Red / Superman Blue began. This is, of course, spinning out of the Death of Superman bullshit. And, of course, that
was the Native American one and the sad one?
Right. That's exactly right.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, this is going to make you sad, Dune. In spring of 98, Gay Comics published its final issue.
Oh, when did Prism come out? As I'm wearing a shirt of a comic book on Prism.
Are you wearing that shirt today? Nice. Out of DC, Emerald Knights began in 98.
Oh, the dude that writes Lovable Oaf for some reason follows me on Instagram.
That's awesome.
It's weird.
This is back in the day, you know, in Marvel's days of woe, when Toy Biz bought them. Let's see. What else do we have? DC 1 Million happened in 98. Daredevil Volume 2, Guardian Devil. By Joe Quesada, you know, probably the only good thing that Joe Quesada ever did. Because it certainly wasn't any of his Spider-Man stuff.
You know, he tried.
Yeah, he tried. Anyway, Black Panther Volume 3. This is, of course, the Black Panther that a lot of the stuff that we see in Marvel Cinematic Universe is based off of. That came out then. Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man.
Which one's Black Panther Volume 3? I gotta Google this. Keep talking, sorry.
Volume 3, it's the, I don't remember. Anyway, it's the one with the Michael J. Fox seeming character that is in the cinematic universe, played by, what's his name, John Watson?
I don't watch the Marvel movies.
You liar.
I don't. I watch Guardians of the Galaxy, too, but I'm not into, like, movies.
Amazing Spider-Man and Peter Parker were both restarted with new number one issues because Marvel can't stop doing that stupid shit.
Marvel cannot stop using their retardus.
They really can't. Let's see. Archie Goodwin died 1998. Bob Kane died. Bill Ward died. Orlando died. Let's see. When it comes to conventions, because this is what I care about, Comic-Con International had 42,000 attendees. Special guests included John Broome, Eddie Campbell, Nick Carty, Mark Crilly, Colleen Duran, Lorenzo
Mattotti.
Hey,
we make up 1/21,000th of that.
Yeah, we do. Terry Moore, Paul S. Newman, James Robinson, Joe Simon, Paul Smith, Vin Sullivan, Naoko Takeuchi, Chris Ware, and Robert Williams.
The Coochie is not someone's last name.
Takeuchi.
Takeuchi.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, yeah, so also at Comic-Con International 1998, that was the year that they left me with the keys, and they regretted it after that.
Every bar is open when you have the keys.
All right. That was the year that the original Blade movie came out, and I did the
You're talking about Airborne?
Blade.
Airborne, the original Blade movie? Thank you.
I did the preview, the premiere party with New Line Cinema, and we had some, I don't even know who was there, but we had some of the actors and stuff were there, we had games and we had food and we had two DJs and it was a big party and had like,
how many two DJs is better than one DJ?
Over 4,000. Well, we had two different styles of DJs. We had one under the sails and one out on the back patio. We had over 4,000 attendees, and it was one of the biggest events biggest parties that Comic-Con ever threw before or since. Mostly because they don't throw the parties anymore themselves. Let's be real. Anyway, it was a fucking it was an amazing year. For my Thursday party, we threw an ElfQuest 10th anniversary event. Which was a benefit for the San Diego Council on Literacy, and on the Friday I threw the post Eisner Awards party.
It's crazy to me that you can remember so much.
And I had what's the swing dance fucking place? What were they called? Hot Rod Lincoln. Was the band that I hired for that party, and everybody was thrilled. Oh my God, you got Hot Rod Lincoln? Yes, I did. And luckily, that was like at the end of their, popularity. That fad went away soon after. So it was a good thing that they got hired. beyond that, it was good times. I had a terrible time with my immediate boss, who just didn't really. It was bad. There was some bad blood there, and so I didn't continue.
I see how your personality could be grating.
Really?
No.
it was kind of painful. Like, I was trying to do all this stuff, and I was trying to do exactly what I was told, and it was just like.
You were like the anti-Zach De La Roca.
I was trying to do... Yeah, exactly. Do what I want. No, I was trying to do what I was told, with the amount of money that I was given. And, I would say, well, what about this? And what about this? Oh, well, you don't have the money for that. Okay, well, then how about this then? Well, all right. And okay, fine. But they, like... I remember them just coming up to me at the Blade party and yelling at me because they were out of food. And I was like, okay... So, are you going to give me more money? And they're like, well, let me see if I can.
Well, and... you shouldn't have brought Popeyes to a Blade party. Of course it will run out.
All of that watermelon. Jesus.
It was popcorn, not Popeyes. Anyway, somehow it was all my fault. No matter what happened, I had borrowed some art from Marv Wolfman. and you know, that was just being displayed, and they thought that I had given it away, and they straight up accused me of giving it away. Oh my God, you gave it away, didn't you? I said, no, it's hidden. You know, I'll tell you where it is if you want. Okay, and so I told them where it was, and then they called
me
back.
Who are you? Anthony Kiedis? It's all frontman jokes.
Give it away now. And
but really, they're bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And I was like, hey, it's right here. And they went and they called me back, and they're like, it's not there. And I was like, oh, shit. You know, then somebody stole it, if that's the case. And so I rushed down there and, you know, found parking, because, like, I was running around doing errands, you know, Comic-Con errands in the middle of the day, because, like, my shit only happened at night.
Something as impractical as art.
Yeah, right? Anyway.
And by the way, when you steal art, it's a heist, okay?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's been heisted.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went and I walked exactly where I told them where it was, pulled it out, and I was like, what are you talking about? Here it is. They were like, that's not where you said. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me, people. Anyway, so I had a bad experience, and they were bad at being a leader, and they probably still are. Anyhow.
Yeah, my life's been a bad experience.
Has it? Because I kind of feel like you've had a pretty good life overall. I mean, there's been some bad parts, like we all have these bad parts, but, you know, overall.
Yeah, I do got white privilege.
You really
nice.
Do. You got it.
Good.
So much, yeah. Much fun.
I mean, if you grew your beard like
do whatever
longer
we want,
and then got out in the sun, then you could, you know, then people might think you were like Middle Eastern or something.
I get so swarthy in the summer.
I know it.
Doing a lot of swimming, I was going to cut my beard today, but I didn't have time. I had to podcast, baby.
Yeah.
1998, boy.
So that was 1998 for me. Do we have anything else? Because I got to go. My daughter's graduating from pre-kindergarten, graduating to kindergarten. That's what she's doing.
That's not a real graduation. Don't
it's really me. Not, but that's what we're about to do right now. And so we got to...
Set the precedent, don't show up.
Say what now?
Set the precedent for the rest of your life and just don't show up. Then it won't be expected of you next time.
Oh, this is the worst. All right. So, are we ready to go, Mike? Are we ready to engage the fucking... The
what's it called?
I don't know. What did you call it?
The Retardus?
The Retardus. To
the Retardus, yeah. Yeah.
To slow our return back to the relative dimension.
When we go back, do I have to be myself? Or yes. Can I, like, quantum leap into someone else?
Let's just say that you can quantum leap into whoever you like. Besides me.
In 2017, Dune McKay traveled through time and leapt into other people's bodies trying to fix their things, but instead fucked all of them up even worse than they were. Now, his next leap is his leap home.
Oh.
I'm about to leap off a stool.
And then he's going to get on Grindr to see who else wants to leap his stool.
When I'm dead, you can do whatever you want with me.
Oh, this is taking such a sad, dark turn. Oh.
All right. So for Dune and Mike, and for 1998 and for everything geek pop culture, I'm
Kevin Ghost 1998, baby.
And this is Comics Online Travels in Time.
Time loss.
Bitches.
Nothing but time loss.
Disclaimer, the opinions expressed in this podcast may not represent those of Comics Online, any participants, or any employees past, present, or future. If you would have thought otherwise without hearing this damn disclaimer, maybe you're just not fucking ready for this whole fucking internet thing, much less hearing me swear right through the fucking disclaimer. Or
it's
maybe
so edgy, dude. You're so cool.
One of our smart and sexy fans who appreciate foul language, the return of Dune murderers, fighting sarcasm, and everything geek pop culture. If you have comments or questions for the Comics Online podcast, just post on our Facebook page, tweet us on Twitter, or email us at podcast@comicsonline.com. Visit Dune on Twitter at Dune, or on Instagram at DuneM, or anywhere else you can possibly find him, because he's a visitable motherfucker. All original material in this podcast, copyright Comics Online.
Bitches. What a day. When I
This has been a Comics Online Pirate Radio Network production, Juice Bags. Yeah, boy.